be general counseling. And let's try to have Bundy mess with the whole outfit from an administrative standpoint and a policy standpoint. The decision on everything from a security policy matter to Vietnam and get him a good deputy and kind of make Sherman Adams where he can take a lot of this stuff off the president, go on and say it, because he does do that in security field and I mean in the foreign field and the defense field, and I never do run into any headaches, but I think a good deal of it could be taken off of that if you get him a real good top deputy that can kind of watch what he's doing there now. I think he can reorganize that place and make it efficient and look to him to fire this one or that one, and just the old concept of the Sherman Adams job.
Well, I think Bill and I, between us, one of the things, the happy things the last 11 months, I don't think we've ever had a problem dealing with each other. None of us go on that way.
And the one thing that does bother me most, frankly, is the writing end of it, not just the standpoint of getting it done, but getting it done in such a way that you leave an impression on history. And I argue very strongly, therefore, for doing everything we have to do to keep the fellow who's already made another commitment, and that's Dick Goodwin. I recognize all of Dick's liabilities, but on the other hand, there's not another man in town.
What are his liabilities?
He got himself in hot water 3 or 4 years ago as an aggressive, overly ambitious young man.
Well, he's not in hot water with me, they're damn certain.
He's in hot water, for example, right this minute with Bill Wirtz. Dick is a loner, and he is ambitious now. He's been magnificent.
I think he's entitled to the highest job we got, the highest pay, and I think even if he is a loner, we just can't afford to have him.
Cannot afford to lose, Mr. Brown. You could lose me, but you can't lose Goodwin.
You couldn't lose either one. I think the fundamental thing about Dick is that it has to be clear where he's supposed to check in. One of the things he's been absolutely, totally faithful about is making sure that he didn't write a foreign policy speech without letting me have a whack at it. I think he ought to be Bill Moyer's right bower for written words is what he ought to be, and it ought to be clear that that's what he is.
He didn't tell me this. He told somebody else. He told a very close friend of his that he would stay if Moyer's put it on a personal basis. He just had to stay. I haven't talked to him yet.
Well, go on, put it on a personal basis, and let's get that straightened out, and then let's bring in one or two more if we can, if you can ever find them. Didn't Martin work out pretty well?
Yes, John Martin is good. That line last night, we have voted as many, but we face the world as one was his. He is good. He would like, frankly, to go back to Latin America as an ambassador. And my understanding, Mac, is he did a hell of a good job in the Dominican Republic, although the government didn't.
He's a good ambassador of the same kind as your man Vaughn in Panama.
Well, he's a good man. I like him, and I want him to have anything he wants.
Don't talk to me today. Can I talk to him?
Yeah, but I'd talk to him about staying there and staying. Let's find him in state somewhere and let him try to handle some foreign reports for us and bring something out. We just got to do better with state and defense on things in the government. Hell, this Birch has got me beat all to pieces on getting news.
Well, you're not going to have immediate Birch trouble, Mr. President.
No, but I mean, he every day, he's got 3 or 4 front page stories, and we can't do anything with 120 nations. And hell, if I didn't do anything but give their, how fast they're breeding, I'd come out of something.
Well, this is really a matter of getting a press circuit organized and getting,
Well, that's the thing we need more than anything else, because if you got that working all right, everything else will work with you.
That's right.
And I got the editors pretty well, and they're going to give us unshirted hell now.
No question.
Scotty Reston's already started off his mom.
Today, and so is Rowley, and this is going to be, this press corps is going to give us the night of the long time.
There's no question about it. The only thing you do is write above it about a good performance, good people, good program, and you'll do both of those.
Well, get together and get everything down in the page before you run off. And now, who's going to run? Mac Bundy there and Buzz?
Going anywhere.
Did Buzz come down here?
Yes, sir. He left this morning. Jack told me he wanted him down there. He wanted him down there. Now, let me tell you, Mr. President, that Buzz is determined to leave. I have talked to him, tried to talk him, you know, into talking to you first.
Well, he does that about every 2 months, pretty regularly, for over 20 years. He comes in, he works 3 or 4 months, and he wants to become, go on top.
And so you should know that. He probably already did know it, that he has definitely decided that he's going to leave on the 30th of November. When you talk to him down there.
No, I didn't know anything about it, never heard about it. Now, what's his problem?
Well, there are two things. He gives the reason it's financial, but that's really not the reason. He feels that he is not a part of things, that he's not involved, that he's over-isolated in the East Wing, and ought to be over here. And just generally feels that he's not considered that brought in a way that permits him to influence policy and be involved in everything. And then he feels that he hasn't had enough contact with you, that other people, and I think probably me, have stood between it. Of course, I mean, you know that's not true. I argued for bringing him into the White House and encouraged him to send his speeches directly to you, et cetera. But he does feel that way. I don't know if it's me personally, but he does feel that other people have gotten between you and him. And you'll have that a little bit of that problem with everyone, except that Goodwin is working very well now. I think he sees your case and he feels that he has a chance to make his case on his speeches with you, then he'll be happy. He's extremely loyal. I know that beyond any doubt from people I've talked to about it. I think Michael testified to that. I think if we bring in Joe Califano and Tom Finney, they will not be as sensitive in terms of wanting a lot of your time. They'll be willing to work with Mac.
Well, one of them work personnel, what do the other do?
Well, we get one of them at a time.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's any doubt of what there's an enormous amount to be done. The problem with a fellow like Buzz, a little bit the same problem that Arne Schlesinger had, and why he was really fixed to quit before the assassination, is the White House divides into the people who have a regular line of work that has to get done and has to be brought to you for action. Therefore, don't get around feeling sorry for themselves and wondering whether you still love them. Then there are the people who don't have that. Schlesinger never had it. He moped his way into the situation he was in. That's Buzz's problem. And that's going to be Doug Cader's problem. It is already. And I don't think, Mr. President, frankly, I think the thing to do is to keep your friendship and not worry about keeping them on the scene. That's not the problem. The problem is work is what has to get done. And I'll be perfectly honest with you and say that if we could keep Goodwin, if we could bring Tom Finney in, or Joe Califano for Duncan's job, you'll probably have to keep Mike for a while, but I feel very strongly after watching him the last 3 or 4 months that particularly since Walter left, this man does have some beholdenness to this special interest that we have to watch. We get a good lawyer in there, and strengthen our riding side, working with me, that we, in fact, we can build you a good domestic program. One thing you're going to have to face is, what about O'Brien's job? Yeah.
Larry came and talked to me just briefly 4 or 5 days ago and said that he would have left this job had John Kennedy lived, that 4 years of it is enough for any man. My guess is that you could persuade him to stay another year if you want him, simply because Larry is a pro and a trooper, and he doesn't have the personal involvement that Kenny and Ted and others had. I'm not saying he was not an all-out John Kennedy man, but I mean, he's devoted to the game, you might keep him. If you don't, he wants to be of use to you somewhere else. Therefore, you have to consider.
Well, what you have is turnaround time there. I think he ought to go into something else if he wants to, but doesn't have to do it right away at the start of his session.
That's right. You might call him today. Dick McGuire told me that he wants to leave, and would have left had Kennedy been alive. 4 years of that job is enough. And Kenny has not talked to me, but Dick told me that Kenny wanted to leave the government, probably. But the reason I brought up O'Brien is that in beginning to shape up this legislative program, which we are going to do the day I get back, we have 3 meetings a day scheduled when I get back. A lot of work's going on now is that the man who is doing O'Brien's job, or Larry, needs to be brought in from the very beginning on this. Because in order to do the best job for you, we've got to have everyone knowledgeable about what we're doing in terms of the legislation. And that includes the people who are writing it and the people who are going to have
it. Well, I'd give some thought to Finney for that and Talifano for the personnel. I'll talk to you later, though. You all figure it out.
Okay, we'll find you a note.
Bye, Nick.
Operator?
Operator?
Operator.